Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are, and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Happy spring to everyone listening here in Franklin. We're recording this on a Wednesday morning, or Tuesday morning, and we're in anticipation of our first real spring storm. I guess we're under tornado watch or something right now, so we're going to record this and then run to our homes to be safe, but I want to say thank you to all of you who take the time to listen to these and watch these and let you know that our financial partners, those of you who give to us every month, you're the reason we're able to do this. So thank you for that. And we are blessed today with a special surprise guest, Miss Courtney Joy Katina. Courtney, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
You've been on the show before, but have you been on it in this format?
I don't think so, not yet.
So it's probably been well over a year since the last time you were a guest on the show. And I told all the uncles, make sure you guys show up for the podcast today. We have a special surprise guest, and they were all excited when they saw it was you, Court. So thank you for being here. And I guess since it's been a little bit since you've been on the show, could you just introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us who you are.
Yep.
You know the drill.
Yeah. Well, like Josh said, I'm Courtney. I'm Sam's youngest daughter. I live in Nashville, Tennessee, in the city, and I do the Katina's social media.
Yeah, you do a lot more than that, Courtney.
Yes.
If you guys look, she's modest. If you guys look here at this beautiful banner we have, Courtney made that about 30 minutes ago.
Making our podcast look legit now, man.
Very talented young lady. And Court, today, when an hour ago when we decided you were going to be a guest on the show, I was thinking this would be a cool thing to ask you about, because I know nothing about graphic design, very little about like video editing and stuff. And anytime I have a need in that area, you're the person I call. And so I'm just curious. I would love to hear the story from you. How did you get into developing this skill and talent that you have? What's the story behind that?
Yeah. In high school, they had like different focuses, and mine was digital design.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I think I was just always interested in photography and just the creative side of editing.
What kind of stuff are you doing in high school classes for?
It's mostly like Photoshop, like Adobe. And so we just learned like a bunch of skills, but I didn't really use it. Like I did YWAM after school.
Okay.
And then in 2018, that's when I started working for you guys. So it's been a couple years.
Were the Katinas your first client?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I still remember, texting Uncle James and just asking him, like, if you ever need any help. And then the next day, I was the manager of
social media, Courtney Katina. Yeah. That's awesome, Courtney. Well, I'll ask, I guess I'll start with Uncle Yeti, because you're a proud father, Uncle.
Yes.
What's it like getting to work with your daughter? Wow. Daughters, I guess, because you have two.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's one that all of us brothers have pondered, you know, what it's like to work with our kids. And it's been quite a learning curve for us, man, just to understand and see how we can, you know, put longevity to our relationship with our working relationship with our kids. You guys have brought so much more to the platform and to the ministry that we couldn't even imagine. And just getting ideas from you all, it's been amazing. I'm so proud of Court. I think it was a learning thing for Court too, because start putting stuff out on Instagram and the different platforms, and you know, to try to make us as appealing as we can be. But then I remember having a conversation with Court and saying, "Okay, Court, we are in our 40s and our 50s, so you know, be sensitive to that." And I mean, you can speak on this, Court. It's probably been a learning, you know, a learning experience for you too, because you're also working for Sing Mastering, and which it's a mastering lab that works with tons of artists, mainly mainstream artists, a lot of big names, and so you're doing stuff for them, and those are completely different audiences, and so while you're trying to make things, you know, productive for them and their audiences, and then you come over to the Katinas, where you know we play in a lot of churches, and so you're having to make adjustments there. But man, I gotta say, everything that I've seen, I just see a lot of improvement, and we're really grateful for that.
Yeah, I enjoy getting to work with my cousins, and Courtney, you're one of those, and there's definitely challenges that come with working with family, but the pros definitely outweigh the cons for me, at least. And I have a fun question for you, Court, and really this is for, I'll ask each of you guys this, but my question is there an artist or a creator or really anything out there that like, that's like your dream, like, oh, I want to make an album cover for this, or I want to shoot a music video for this artist, or maybe it's something besides music. Is there a person out there that's like a dream project for you?
I'm trying to think of like not a basic answer. Like
any answer that's true is
well,
good.
There's this guy. I mean, the first person that comes to mind is obviously, I would love to work with Beyonce. Of just like, not even just see how she works, like just behind the scenes. But another creator that I love, his name's Cole Bennett, and he, I think he's like, he does a lot of video. Like he's done stuff for like Lil Yachty and Jack Harlow. Okay. You'd probably recognize some of his stuff.
I feel like I've heard his name before.
Yeah,
is he related to Chance the Rapper?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
He's white. Okay. I mean, not that he could have, but but he.
Well, it is 2024. They could be related.
Yeah, but he's getting into like production now. Like now he has an album, and like Eminem, a bunch of people were on the album. But he does a lot of like editing and just a bunch of creative stuff. Nice. Yeah,
I like that, Uncles. This is for you. Artist, it doesn't even have to be music, but
yeah.
Is there a dream person you guys would like to work with?
Well, man, I was always, and still am, and he's no longer here, but, you know, Michael Jackson was such a trendsetter back in the day. And I think it's really cool that even a lot of younger creatives always talk about the inspiration that he's had on a younger generation. We did get to work and became friends with someone that we always, we felt like he was a musical idol, Andre Crouch. And his, I'll just say one thing about him. He had this canning ability to just have diversity was such a big part of his, the way he created his music. I don't know if that was intentional. I would say it was intentional. And I think it really inspired us through the years just to make sure that we weren't, we just made sure that we were still genuine with the gift that God gave us. But there was such an appeal for us to be relatable to very different crowds and demographics without, you know, people being confused. I mean, we're still who we are. And there's still a lot of growth to have in that area. But I love artists and people who have a mass appeal, who are diverse in just their approach with being, creative.
I'm like you, John. But three artists come to mind for me. One is U2, the band U2, that have they've been around for decades now. And when I say they've been around, they weren't just like on the fringes. They're always at the top of their game, and I really respect that, because to be at the top, you have to change. So you can't just be on the top and say, "Well, this is what brought me at the top, and this is what I'm going to do." There's nuances and just minute changes that people on the outside maybe not recognize, but you two as a band, Bono the singer, man, I just saw something with them at that new venue in Vegas, the Sphere, and they were just as effective as ever, and it's crazy. So that's the first one.
I think it's interesting that you bring them up, because I'm a little surprised that you say you two, Uncle, but one thing I know about you two is that to them, the live show is really important. To Bono and the whole band, like, they put a lot of emphasis. They don't do live shows unless it's excellent. And like, I know it took them over 2 years to put together the show that they're doing in Vegas. Yeah. The tour before was called the 360 tour. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
It was a stadium tour where the stage was in the middle. Mm-hmm. It was a 360-degree show. The live show was a huge part of U2. And I think that it's interesting that I would think you guys would agree that the live show has sustained the Katinas for as long as you guys have been doing music. And I just think it's interesting that U2 is one of those people, because I think you guys are kindred spirits in that aspect.
Yeah. Man, thanks. That's a compliment. Appreciate that. So U2... but another guy that I look at, and this might surprise some people, but Toby Mac. Mm-hmm. Toby Mac is a guy that, because we came into the industry together right around the year 96. And, right, 96, when we did our first record with...
Even before that, I think it was early, 90.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like we've always felt like peers, because DC Talk came out, but... you know, after DC Talk, when Toby did his solo thing, I've watched him just from the back, you know, the background, just seeing him from a distance, seeing him change, and he always put music out that sounded current. It's like, this is the new thing, and so I really appreciate that about him. I mean, he's older than all of us, but he's still on stage. He's still effective in what he does. And then the last guy I want to mention is Michael W. Smith. Mm. Michael W. Smith, I feel like I want to be connected to him, and God has given us the opportunity to do some tours with him and to learn from him. But the kind of family man that he is, and the kind of man that he is off of the stage, really, really speaks to me. But I think in all three of these artists, it's longevity.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you do this long? You know, and you know, there are some who've had shorter careers but have been just as effective, and I respect that too. But those are the three bands that come to mind.
I agree, Jetty. And I want to say that Courtney, man, coming along and being a part of our team, I'm so proud of her. But one of the cool things that she's done is just help us to stay relevant without, you know, just saying, hey, just whatever you guys used to do, don't do that anymore, do this. But really bringing us along. And I think Sam made a comment just about it's been a learning curve for us. And I'd say 2020 was that kind of that pivotal moment where we were kind of forced to One, go to the people and use the internet to create content, to start streaming our music. And Courtney, Eli, Josh, Caitlin, so many of you really helped us to say, listen, you can still be who you are, but even reach more people. And I think it's important for, I want to say to people who are still creating music or in the arts who are getting up in age, that perhaps getting some young mind, some young energy in your camp is what you need to, if you want to keep doing this, if you don't want to close shop. And I think that's what we've had to, because it's a, you know, it was kind of awkward. It was a different thing because we normally just, it's just the five of us doing what we do. And so I'm thankful. I think the silver lining of the pandemic and, you know, live shows being canceled for a while was for us to say, all right, you got to do something different if you want to not just keep doing this, but even grow. I feel like in the last 3.5-4 years, there's been some growth, and a lot of that was due to us realizing that, man, we need some young minds, some amazing creatives, and they happen to be, you know, right in our camp, and we didn't know it, and that's been a huge blessing.
There's the artist who won the Grammy this year for Rap Album of the Year. His name's Killer Mike. And as far as I know, he'd never won a Grammy before. He's well into his 40s, which is, when you think of rap and hip hop, you think of like, I think of like, oh, that's the music of the young generation. I think it's amazing that that's someone amazing. at his age is resonating in one Rap Album of the Year. And I don't know a lot about Killer Mike, but I have to imagine he has a team around him that is helping him to kind of, like you said, maintain relevancy. And because it's not like he just started rapping. He's been doing it for 20-something years, maybe longer, and now he won a Grammy in his 40s for Rap Album of the Year. I think that's amazing. Yeah. And, but, yeah.
Well, I wanted to say, John mentioned 2020 when we, you know, it was the year of the pandemic, and so we were forced to do a lot of things that we don't normally do. So Courtney coming on board with the whole, the visuals and the social media thing is, and then Josh, that was the, when you taught me how to use Logic. It's the program that I use to build our stems. And if it wasn't for that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, Joe and John, but man, I feel like that changed. That was when things changed, because I didn't have to wait for, you know, other guys that used to help us with the stems. And so, and a lot of, I think that there, some people in my generation and even the older generation, they can be afraid of technology, but I think the millennials come in and they show us how, it's like a language that they speak effortlessly, old dogs can learn new tricks sometimes, and we're better for it. So, yeah, I'm grateful for that.
Dad, one artist, two artists, who would you like to work with?
Man, I think Uncle's covered that. I was trying to think something different, and I'll be honest, I can't really think. I think right now the season that I'm in is, and I think it's appropriate that Court's here, I'm just trying to I'm dreaming about how we can just be better, do this better as a family. What we do is different, and again, I don't. That doesn't mean that what other people do is not relevant to what we do, because it is. I think of all the artists that the uncles mentioned: Smitty, Toby, U2, Michael Jackson, Andre Crouch. Those guys have influenced us. But this last weekend, we got to, you know, when we were leading worship, we had some of the nieces and daughters join us. And that was just a taste. And again, I think I'm looking back since Court and you and Eli, and I guess Eli was the first one, and Kate started working with us. I feel like I can proudly say we didn't force anybody to work with. Like, we didn't, hey, you got to work with us. In fact, I think if anything, we probably swung to the other extreme because of how we grew up. And we didn't have a choice. And again, I'm grateful to Grandpa. And, you know, and this is all we knew how to do. We had to do this. We had to depend on one another. So I look at how Eli, Court, Kate, you, BG came in to work with us. I think it was all, I believe it was all mutual. Like, okay, do we want to do this? Can we do this? And we're still learning, still growing. And the girls, the nieces and daughters sang with us just one song. And man, you know, I don't know if it's just my state of mind or the state of my soul. It was so refreshing. And again, as we mentioned to the nieces, hey, I don't know if we'll do this again, but it was beautiful. And hopefully we can do it with, hopefully our kids that want to come alongside of us will continue to have that opportunity, and we'll continue to have the creativity and the stage to be able to do that even stronger and better in the coming years. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. That's good. I was thinking too, Joe, that, you know, along with generations working together, I mean, I think about our vision to gather people, to welcome people into the family. And really prior to Court and Kate working with us, we hadn't had a lot of experience working with females, right? And so, and man, the perspective that females bring is just, you can't substitute it with it's just, and I really feel like it's the way that God created us, man, male and female. And so, and then listening to ESPN radio this morning, and they talked about how the women's college game is kind of like it's more hype than this year than the men. And I mean, I watched both games last night, and man, being a girl dad, you know, I'm proud, and I know that the voices of females is crucial. Yeah. is so important. So
good. I love that, Uncle. I also watched the first game last night, the Iowa versus LSU game. And I don't know how many women's basketball games I've watched, like beginning to end. It's not that many, but I was invested into the game last night. And I was, I feel like being a basketball fan, for years now, there has been this effort being made to kind of promote the women's game, right? And for one reason or another, it seems like it's hard. It's been hard to catch on, but something does feel a little different. Mm-hmm. And it's fun watching the game for me because it is a different game than the men's game. I don't think it is different, but there's something. I enjoy watching like women compete. There's something different about it that's refreshing to me, and I really enjoyed watching them battle last night. And we were on our thread talking about get this Caitlin Clark girl is bad.
And James, Uncle James as well. We got to see a niece of ours, Tahina Papa, who plays for South Carolina. They're the actual overall number one seed in the tournament. They're still undefeated. But you're right, Josh. I mean, the place was packed, and their coach is kind of an icon in women's basketball. But it's really great to see just how they're elevating not just women's basketball, but just women's sports in general. I want to ask Courtney, I got to have a question for you. I mean, you're so talented and gifted. You do various things because you're gifted. What is like one thing, you can call it a go or a dream, something that you haven't done yet that you would like to do soon?
That is a hard question, but a good question. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm very, which I have the Lord to thank in my family, but I feel like in this season, I'm very content with what I'm doing. And I think, like, maybe the first time I was on the podcast, I was just wrestling, like, back and forth. Yeah. Like, am I going to do this? Like, is this going to be sustainable for me? Am I going to still live in Nashville? But now looking back, and that's been, like, 2 years, yeah. I feel like I can't see myself doing anything else. Mm. So I think a dream, just getting better at what I'm doing and learning more from other people and I think just having more accounts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't have, like, one big goal. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I love that answer, Court. So last night I had this, I was not planning on talking about this, but Alexis and I, we have this sushi place here in Franklin that we go to at least once a week. It's called Sunset Sushi. And
shout out, Tony. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. So the owner of the sushi shop, his name's Tony.
He's, can I say something about Tony?
Yeah.
He always calls me either Joe or Sam. Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. I support you, man. You don't know my name.
So Tony... It's funny, Tony even asked, you talk to Sam lately?
Yeah.
Last night he said that. But me and Alexis, we sat at the bar. So Tony's right across from us making the sushi. And I was just thinking about this man who I don't know him personally, but I see him at least once a week and he's always very friendly. He knows my name. He knows my order. I was just thinking about his life because he seems to me to be a very content person. And what I know about him, the little I know about him, is that Tony shows up to work every day. He has a gift for making sushi. He makes sushi. He's friendly with his customers. He has relationships with his customers. And he seems to be content to me. And I feel like maybe it's just the season of life that I'm in right now, being, you know, in my 20s, I still have a lot of goals and dreams that I'm chasing after. I do think that there's plenty of times in my life where I could be content and I could be satisfied if I would just be thankful for the thing that's in front of me and be diligent at for the thing that's in front of me. And I learned that sitting in front of Tony last night, that this guy, again, I don't know him personally, but his spirit is so joyful and content. And I know that he spends every day working hard and doing what he knows to do. And sometimes that's all it takes to be content. And so I love that answer from you, Courtney.
Thank
sometimes
you, Josh.
People ask, what's your dream? And maybe we are already living the dream.
I think that's such a healthy place, and I'm sure we don't live there. The goal is to live there with contentment. It comes and goes, but I think especially at your age, where you're at in life, single, working, plenty of jobs, plenty of opportunity, to be content, I think is a very. I guess I would encourage you as your uncle, man, hold on to that. Because there's going to be times where, I'm not content. I mean, 54, and I do find that I'm trying to be more content. And for me personally, it comes from being present and not being distracted with what everyone else is doing. Because I do have that gene in me where, comparison, or I'm not doing enough, or if I'm doing great, until I find out what somebody else is doing. How do we get on that stage? How do we do that? And nothing wrong with goals, but man, there's something beautiful about learning to live in the present and being content. And I do believe that it's Jesus's will for us to have that. That's the rule and not the exception.
Good word. I think one of the enemies of contentment is, and you mentioned it, comparison. you know, scrolling through social media and going, man, oh man, look what that guy has, or look where they went, look what he's wearing, all of that, and we can just miss, like Josh said, the thing that's in front of us. I mean, this is last Sunday being at World Outreach. This church has been a tremendous blessing to us, giving us a platform to sing on, and there are so many. And then after the Easter service at World Outreach, we came to the park with all the family there. We had 73 people there at the park, but
growing.
And it was just seeing all the kids, the different ages, and just being content and saying, man, thank you, God, for what you've done. You continue to grow this family. But just us being together, that was kind of a message that we all share with one another. And the message is, I love to be with you. You know, And again, the vision of the Katinas is to invite people in the spiritual family, all generations. And then there's things that the men do, and God called the men to do. There's things that the women do. God called the women to do that. So if we all just continue to learn what our lane is, where God is calling us, and then be content with that and be grateful that, man, he's given us purpose. You know, that's what it's about.
One of my favorite artists, his name's J. Cole. In 2016, he came out with this project called Revenge of the Dreamers. And there's a song on there. The first lyric is, "You ain't a man until you stop chasing your friends." And I remember hearing that song in 2016, I would have been 20 years old. And I was definitely chasing my friends. That comparison that you talked about, Dad and Uncle Yeti, is something that I struggle with. And now, almost 8 years later, I think to myself, am I chasing my friends? And if I'm honest, I think the answer is yes in a lot of areas of my life. And that lyric is, it has stuck with me throughout the years of like, is comparison ruling my life? Am I chasing what Eli and Jackson and Dylan are doing? Am I chasing what so-and-so who I went to high school with? Or am I, the next line is think for yourself, make your own plans. And that's something that I struggle with, if I'm being really honest. And this conversation is just a reminder to me that you ain't a man until you stop chasing your friends. And so you guys are men that I really look up to, and Court, a woman that I look up to. And I think we're at our fullest when we're not chasing others, but we're thinking for ourselves, making our own plans.
So good.
I love that. The struggle. So, I think it's necessary, though, Josh. I think some days I'm chasing. Some days I'm content. I do feel like I'm less struggling, but some of that has to do with age and time. On the Easter, Uncle Yeti was talking about Easter. Man, I remember I had a moment. I was walking Josiah in his trying to put him to sleep, and I saw all you guys playing games. I felt the joy just through the noise. And man, I remember when I was your age. And first of all, we were hardly home on Easter. I mean, Easter was a big work day. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I remember trying to have Easter egg hunts with you guys when we were, like, either the Monday we got back or the Saturday before we left. And then when I was walking Josiah and I saw you guys, I felt like I thought, this is what I struggled for. This is why we worked hard, is so someday you used to be Josiah, and that we wouldn't have to just be away. We could see you guys. And now you're raising Josiah and Shiloh to come, and Caitlin and Jervon's baby to come, and it's your time to struggle. But there will come a day of beautiful contentment when you're going to hear, you're going to be walking your grandson and watching your kids play. And with their, it's, I can't tell you the amazing thing about it. And yet, immediately after I'm leaving, going home, the struggle comes back. Oh, man, what do I got to do this week? And it was like, dude, just be content with this. It was beautiful.
I love that. I love that, Joe, and I love that word, joy. That's your middle name, yeah. Courtney. And you know what? I want to bring it back to you because I feel like when you talked about, man, just being in a season of contentment, that's where that joy comes from. And I believe that because you exude that in everything that you do, you're going to have to say no to accounts. They're going to be coming left and right, and they're just, that joy, that's a place when I get to a place of contentment is when I feel joy the most. And I'll say that it's not like 24/7, but I think that day, Easter Sunday, was a reminder of, man, what it really is about. And Shelly and I were talking about, man, you, whatever you guys have to do, you gotta, this has to be an annual thing, even yes. If it's just a couple times through the year, because it serves as a reminder of why we exist. Yes, God has given us a platform where it's we're visible in front of a lot of people, and maybe most people don't make their living doing this kind of thing, but at the end of the day, we can't miss out, and we can't forget, a three-hour moment like we had. I think it's the last couple of years we've done this. Shout out to Kathy Ann that's her gift. She was just operating in as long as I've known your mom, that's her gift. To bring people together is amazing, and I think I hope more extended families and people get to experience, what we experience on Sunday.
Yeah. Uncle Yetzi, as we close, there's a tradition on the show that you started actually years ago where we don't do this every week, but you shared a story about an idol that you met yourself that told you, he gave you a word of advice, and he said, always leave people with an encouraging word. And so I'd like to ask you if you would leave us with an encouraging word for your lovely daughter, Courtney, as we close today.
Thank you, Josh, and thanks for that opportunity. I do want to say that Courtney, being the youngest, I think the younger siblings in every home can relate to, the pros and cons of that, and maybe even sometimes insecurities that go through your mind being the youngest. But Court, you have shown so much purpose. You talk about the digital design class that you took in high school I saw creativity in you even before that. And I would just say, man, the thing that brings me most joy is just hearing you say that you experience contentment. Contentment, I think, can be tied to purpose. People that kind of lack contentment, sometimes they're asking themselves, what is my purpose? And I think those years that you, or the year in Hawaii at YWAM, I think that was very pivotal in your life, just the way that you learned to connect with God. And so I just want to say that I'm proud of you. And I the best is yet to come. And you're already working with Beyonce, through the mastering lab. And so I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the younger sister that you've been to your older sisters. You've been respectful and honoring to them. But at the same time, you kind of know where your place is too, and when to use your voice. And I'm so proud of you. And to the listeners out there, you have purpose. And nobody can tell you if it's small or big. If it's something that God has placed on your heart, man, that purpose is going to ultimately take you to a place of contentment.
Thanks, Uncle. So Court, good. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.